Okay, so we're going to start with what's the connection between... First of all, my goal today is to make Chana Brucha very embarrassed. Okay, that's... And I promise you I will be very successful at it. Okay. So I was wondering, what's the connection between Pesach and Cinderella? That was my... Okay. So does anyone want to try? Yeah.
Cinderella.
Me?
Cinderella was saved from the evil stepsisters.
Okay. Good. Good.
Yeah. All that cleaning. Come on, guys.
Okay. Okay.
You know, let's big events happen at midnight.
Big events happen at midnight. Okay. Good. Okay. What else? This is three. It's 3-0, ladies. Come on. It's 3-3 on this side. 0. Oh, okay. They didn't. Nothing on this side. Okay. So my thought was that at Chatzos you turn into a pumpkin. But so imagine we're Cinderella. Okay. I never really read the story in the original, so I can't tell you what the real story is. Right. And she's getting ready for the ball. Right? And it's a lot of work getting ready for a ball. I mean, I've never got ready for a ball before, at least especially not as a woman. You know, you have to get into your petticoats, and then your petticoats on top of your petticoats, your petticoats on top of your petticoats, right, in those days, right? But would she kvetch?
No.
Why not?
Because
she's excited, right? Okay. So the mushroom was, I spoke for the girls a few years ago. Don't ask me how many. So... Men get ready for a chasna. It's right, you know. They put on their white shirt, black suit, tie, ready to go. 15 minutes. Modern bachur maybe take 25 minutes because they make sure their hat's in the right angle. Okay, let's say right, but okay, right. Girls, you know, they have to call it coordinated. There's months of preparation beforehand. You know, they make sure that everybody, the gowns are they're purple with the white sash or with the green sash or with the yellow sash, right? The gold sash, right? Nobody kvetches about it. That's the excitement of a wedding. I've never had a colleague yet came to me and says, you know, Kevin Milikas, you know, this is so boring and I'm so frustrated and like it's so late. I mean, the chasna is then late. They might come through the next day, you know, so they're really exhausted, right, such a thing. But not, that night, they're arguing that it's so late. So the challenge is we want to figure out, if we look at Pesach, Pesach is the night with Klal Yisrael and the Kodesh Baruch Hu were joined together. It's the night of the wedding. So how can we make sure that we feel the same way? That we don't feel like it's so late. We're sitting in the Oyvei, it's so late, and there's so much matzah to eat, and there's so much drink, mora to eat, and there's so much wine to drink. What can we do? So I think one of the challenges is the following. I attended, when I was a bachur, I attended a very, very special occasion. I attended something called Kinnus B'nai Torah. Kinnus B'nai Torah was twice a year, Chol HaMoed Pesach and Chol HaMoed Sukkos. All of the B'nai Torah, which lived in the greater than the tri-state area, would come together in a room, and one of the Gedolim would speak for them. Rav Moshe one time spoke. I was there with my Rav Sheva. Rav Gifter spoke. Rav Yaakov spoke. And it hit me. I was just thinking about it. That was a fascinating thing because there was about 1,000 people in the room. And that was all of the B'nai Torah in 1975, which existed in the tri-state area. That was all of us in one room. So it's pretty easy for us to understand we're very important. There's only 1,000 of us. Imagine they do it nowadays and there's 100,000 people in the room. Would we feel the same way? Why not? Because there's so many of them. I'm not so important. Maybe one of the challenges is we understand the role that we play. Maybe we understand why we are so important and be more exciting. There's a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says that if there's a person who lives in a town, he doesn't come and join the shul, he's considered a shochein ra. He's a bad neighbor. Right? So why is he a bad neighbor? What do he do? He decided to stay home. He doesn't like going to shul. He decided he likes davening at home, or he doesn't daven at all, or he davens very late. Right? He doesn't want to go to shul. The Merc calls him a bad neighbor, right? So you have a block party, and everybody contributes something to the block party. You know, all of them, they close up the streets, and they arrange with the police, and they put the barricade at one end, the barricade at the other end, and they put out the tables, and one person brings the Franks and Blanks, one person brings the French fries, one person brings the game, and one person doing that, and this person doesn't come. So how would you feel?
Annoyed.
If the person didn't come, how would you, how would you feel?
Insulted.
Okay, how would you feel? Your neighbor didn't come. You set up this whole table. How would you feel?
Bad.
Okay. Why would you feel bad? Okay, that's a good answer. All right. Somebody else over here, please help me. How would you feel? Ladies, I can't hear you. She's already said twice. Somebody in the back over there. I can call you by name, but you don't want me to call you by name. So focus on me, okay? How would you feel? I guess it wouldn't bother you. What? You feel bad for them. Okay? Yeah.
Lonely.
Okay. Well, everybody in the block is there except for one person. So why are you insulted? Why are you lonely? Why do you feel bad? It's only one person didn't come.
Curious?
Because that person doesn't care. That's a person saying a sentence that they don't care. Okay, very good answer. That person says they don't care. One answer. Let's give me a different answer.
Annoyed.
Why would you be annoyed? Everybody else came, so one person didn't come.
Because still.
Yeah, only one person. Come on, come on, only one person. That's so bad, right?
That was exactly because everyone else came. Why couldn't he get back together and come also?
Okay, so everybody else can make it. Why couldn't you make it? Then tell you ladies on this side, I'm sorry, this side is doing much better. I'm sorry. This is going to, you know. We understand that one person makes a difference. Every person makes a difference. Okay, so you said, because it's only 20 people, 30 people, makes a difference. If it was 100 people, it would make a difference. It would also make a difference. If I knew that 99 people in the block came, it's a big block, and one person didn't come, why didn't you come? For instance, you know, because I have low self-esteem, I don't think it really makes a difference. I don't make such a difference whether they come or not. No, you mean so much, we want you to be there. Ah, you're just saying that to be nice. Are you really saying to be nice? It's really important to you that they came. Okay, imagine, I don't know how many of you girls ever went to listen to an orchestra, a full-blown symphony orchestra. Okay, I guess I count as one, right? Mr. Jacoby, maybe? Okay, good, thank you. Fine. Okay, good. A few, okay. Right. Imagine, you know, there's one of the violins decides to stay home. If you go to an orchestra and The harpist it's basically a string type of music, and the cymbals are played three times. So who gets paid more, the harpist who's working the whole time, or the person who's playing the cymbals?
The harpist.
Harpist. Actually, they get paid the same.
What?
Why? It's not fair. Because without those three times that you clang the cymbals together, the piece is missing. So Soloveitchik said on that, he says he once went to that actual example. The cymbals actually three times in the whole symphony, and he went and asked them afterwards, do you get paid differently? They said, no, they get paid the same. He says, then he understood Pshat in the Gemara and Brochus. Why is this called a Shochinah? Because everybody makes a difference. But we don't believe that. We really don't believe that. Because we believe that, we wouldn't look at ourselves with so low self-esteem. We're important. We have what to offer. We're valuable. Every person is valuable. Every person has what to offer. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu met Klal Yisrael, and he comes to Har Sinai, and he speaks to Klal Yisrael, he says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Do we have a problem with that language? What's the challenge in that pasuk? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to Klal Yisrael. How would you expect him to say that phrase? Translated in English, I am Hashem, your God. It's very easy because in English, plural or singular?
Singular.
Singular. How would you expect the Kodesh Baruch Hu to speak to Klal Yisrael?
Plural.
Why do you speak to Klal Yisrael in the singular?
Each of us.
Because each, so the Chazal say that the each word came out of Kodesh Baruch Hu's mouth, It came to each member of Klal Yisrael personally and says, are you going to accept what I said? Accept this dibur. You personally. And I said, and each person said, yes. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to each one of us individually. Each one of us individually has a role they're supposed to play. And that is a challenge which we have when we live in a community which is hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. When you live in a community and there's only 10 people, yes, we feel very bad. The person didn't come to the block party. A person, there's 1,000 people. Okay, one person didn't come, it doesn't bother us as much. But the reality is, he's still a Shachin Ra, because we still need them. The orchestra, Symphony's orchestra, can have 150 pieces. But there's one person missing, and it's a problem. They say a story which I've never found other than in Jewish sources. I don't know whether it's real, I should believe the story or not. Right? That there was a famous conductor, Toscanini, which he would be able to hear by ear if all of his pieces were there. And once he was conducting a piece which requires 14 violins, and he stopped in the middle of the piece is wrong, and he said and they realized he was right, there was only 13 violins there. Could he hear that? He could hear that. That there's one violin missing. Everybody has the music that they're going to play, they're going to produce. Okay. That's the first thought. I think that the challenge you want to overcome when it comes to the minor Pesach, the reason why we don't act like the Kalu, and we're so excited to be, you know, the Kalu's sister, right? The 13th cousin who got slept along because they had parents and no place to leave them, each person reacts to the Kasta differently. So are we the Kalu? Are we the Kalu's sister? Or are we the number the 13th cousin who got slept along because we have nowhere else to go? So if we come to that one, we're pretty. The Seder can be very boring. If we're the Kalu, it's about us. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, I have a relationship with you, and this is the night which I forge a relationship with you. This is the night that I want you to stand that we made a relationship. This is the chasana for you. Or this is the anniversary. Somebody told me that he was that they're celebrating their anniversary. So to celebrate the anniversary, they took out the husband and wife had a nice dinner together, and they sat and they watched the chasana video. And he said, you know, I was Baruch Hasna. I was there Baruch Hasna. I mean, I was the Chosna, right? I was there Baruch Hasna. I had a great time. I know everything which happened Baruch Hasna. Do you think I would enjoy watching the video? Those who say yes, raise your hands. Those who say no, raise your hands. People say, boring. I know this already. How many said that, you know, Chasna video, your Chasna video, you get up and you say, bored. Nobody, right? The challenge is our chasna video. The challenge of the night of Seder is our chasna video. Okay. There's four sons which are mentioned in the Haggadah. There are four sons mentioned in the Haggadah. The four sons are Chacham. Okay, please translate for me the Ein Yodei Lishol. Doesn't know how to ask. Okay. How do you picture that child?
A baby.
Okay, what else?
Two-year-old.
Any other way to... Sorry?
Stupid,
okay.
Shy,
okay.
Confused.
Lost, okay. We have a few different ranges over here. So the morale says any of their initial means they're not connected. They're not connected. They're not interested in asking any questions. That's any of their initial. It's not the little baby who's not smart enough to ask any questions. It's not the person who is, let's say, even shy, which is a good answer. It's the person which, this doesn't speak to me. I'm not interested in this type of stuff. I'm not connected. And the Torah has a message for the Ein Yodei Lishol, just like it has a message for the Chacham and the Rosha and the Tam. The Tam is the simple one, right? That's like the baby. That's the young child, right? The Ein Yodei Lishol, the person who's not interested. And what is the message for the Ein Yodei Lishol? And it's fascinating. The mitzvah of Haggadah is based on a pasuk in Chumash. It's a challenge already. Who knows the pasuk in Chumash, which is based on? Who is it talking to? Which child? Ein Yodei Lishol. The mitzvah of the Haggadah is to speak to the Ein Yodei Lishol. The mitzvah of the God is not to speak to the Tam or to the Chacham or to the Rosh. The mitzvah of the God is to speak to the Ein Yodei Lishol, the person who is not interested. The night of the Seder is to find a way to speak to that child. And what do you say to this child? Bavur Zeh Al Sashem Libes Hesim Mitzrayim. What does Bavur Zeh mean? Rashi says, Kai Mitzvah Sub, I'm going to fill the mitzvahs, one of the mitzvahs, Hesach Matzo Murr. You talk to that child, he doesn't see you doing it, it's not going to work. If you don't walk the walk when you're talking the talk, that child will not connect. This is a child that you have to see you living it and doing it. This is the child that when he sees you living it and doing it, then there's a possibility. And he says, why are you doing this? What's it important to you? So the Rosh asked my brothers, you notice in the Haggadah that actually the Haggadah connects the two together. So what does Mahavadah mean? What's the Haggadah referring to? What's this service for you? Mahavadah, it's referring to the Karban Pesach, actually. But the Yerushalmi says, the Chagakim says, Yerushalmi says it means cleaning for Pesach. Why is it something so hard to clean for Pesach? What do you need it for? What's all this tircha for? That's the question that he's asking. So that's the child which is not connected yet. So what do you tell that child? Because Baruch Hu did it for? Plural, singular.
Singular,
right? Did it? Not law, no, but Lee. Kadosh Baruch Hu did it for me. We're back to that point. I think the most important point of the night of Seder, the night of the Pesach, is it's about each individual person. And that is the message we're going to try and get out of the Seder. Okay. The Chacham is very challenging. If you've ever looked at the parsha of the Chacham, and now you will. So the Torah actually gives a very long answer for the Chacham, which you don't find in the Haggadah. The child asks, you will tell your child in answer to his question, he wants to know about Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpatim. Eidos, testimonials, the mitzvahs which teach us a lesson. Chukim, the mitzvahs we don't understand. Mishpatim, the mitzvahs which make sense to us. I want all three types of mitzvahs. Why does Hashem give us different types of mitzvahs? V'amar to Levincha, you will tell your child. And there's a five pasuk answer what you tell your child. Avodim ayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim, ayutiyan Hashem b'mitzrayim b'yad chazaka. We were avodim to Paro, and Hashem took us out b'yad chazaka. That's the first pasuk. We say that in the Haggadah. V'yitiyan Hashem oisos u'moivsim gedoylim v'royim b'mitzrayim b'paro b'chol b'yisrael leinenu. Kadosh Baruch Hu put wonders and signs, which were gedoylim, which were great, v'royim, and they were horrible. B'mitzrayim b'chol b'yisrael leinenu. We got to see it. So we don't say that pasuk. And Hashem took us out to give us Eretz Yisrael. We do say that pasuk. Two more pasuk which we do not say. And Hashem gave us the chukim. They should be able to fear Hashem. It should be good for us to give us life like we are right now. That's the full answer we give to the Chacham. So the Chacham says, I want to know everything about the Torah. Everything about the Torah. There's nothing in the Torah I don't want to know. I want to know what Eidos are, Chukim are, Mishpatim are. I'm fascinated. The whole thing is fascinating to me. I want to understand all what it's all about. So you take out a Karev and you start explaining the Torah mitzvahs. You take out the Rambam. You start explaining there's Eidos and there's Chukim and there's Mishpatim and there's all these different things. No, that's not what you say. You say, we were avodim. The guy's a lamdan. He came back from yeshiva. You know, the older brother came back from yeshiva, and he's taking over Chaim Brisker's, you know, and tours and shulchan aruchs. And it's chukim mishpatim. And what do you say? You say avodah minu v'harav mitzrayim. Hashem put oisus and moivsim. My tzevet Hashem lasus kol chukim eila. The tovlano kol yomim. It's good for us. The chayyus say no kerem azet. It'll be a stalker for us when we keep the mitzvahs. So that's the answer for the Chacham. So I think that the night of the Seder, the goal of the night of the Seder, what we're going to try and take out of the night of the Seder, is that it's stalker for us to do this. It's the most wonderful thing which could ever happen to us. So how do we do that? So we do the Ten Makas. So I did this last year with Mrs. Frank's ninth grade? What was it then? What grade was that?
Tenth grade.
Right? So that's now the 11th grade of the girls. Some of the girls will remember it. I'm going to do some of the points again. Okay. So 10 Makkos. The main point that you're supposed to stop and think about is the 10 Makkos. The 10 Makkos. Why did Hashem bring the 10 Makkos? Punish Mitzrayim. What else?
Punish
Mitzrayim. Okay, what else?
Show Bnei Yisrael
how great he is. I'm still telling you, this side is doing much better.
To show himself to the world.
Show himself to the world, okay. Good.
Take Bnei Yisrael out.
Okay. So was the purpose of the 10 Makkos to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim?
No.
Did he need to do the 10 Makkos to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim?
Maybe.
Okay, those who said Hashem needed to do 10 Makkos to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, raise your hand. Okay, those say Hashem did not need to do 10 Makkos to take us out of Mitzrayim, raise your hand. Those who have no idea what I'm talking about, raise your hand. Okay, there's a fascinating Targum Yonasan which says that the night of Pesach, the Kadosh Baruch Hu took all of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael because the Korban Pesach had to be shechted in Yerushalayim. And all Klal Yisrael was transported to Yerushalayim and then brought back to Mitzrayim. Now, if I was there, I'm in Yerushalayim already, and the Mishnah came that 5 minutes we're going, 5 minutes ladies clean up, and we're going back to Mitzrayim. What would you say? No, I'm not going. I'm very happy. I'm in Eretz Yisrael already. So the Hashem very easily could have taken us out without any problems. He did it already, and he took us back to Mitzrayim. Matter of fact, Gevaldenveld. So while the Mitzrayim were being, we're being killed, Klai was going up back to Yerushalayim and back and forth. Whether the matter is just Kipshut or not, Hakadosh Baruch Hu can do whatever he wants. He doesn't need to do 10 Makkos to take out of Mitzrayim. Okay, so let's talk about the Makkah. Let's start with the Makkah of Dam. Right. So how do you illustrate the Makkah of Dam? What do you do? You spread a Seder and you illustrate the Makkah of Dam. What do? You have a little kid. You want to explain to the kid the Makkah of Dam. What? You take some water and you color it red, okay? Halachic Shiloh, whether you're allowed to do that, you have to do it before Yom Tov, right? Right? You're allowed to do that or not? Right? How do you illustrate for Sardeya? You take some plastic frogs, you throw it at him, right? You know? Right? Maybe some plastic snakes for Orav. Let's try and picture Makkos Dam for a second. A human being cannot live without water. Animals can't live without water. Crops can't live without water. How long did the Makkah last? Two opinions of matters. One opinion lasted for a week. One opinion lasted for 3 weeks. Mitzrayim for 3 weeks had no water. How did they get water? They had to buy it. Now, did everybody in Mitzrayim have money to buy water? No. So what happened to people who didn't buy water? They died. Okay. What happened to... Now, let's see the people who had money to buy water. Did they have money for all their animals?
No.
Okay. Now the matter says that when they came to the Jews for water, to buy the water, Jews are Jews, right? So what did the Jews say? It's very expensive. You know? And each day the price went up. So the fellow who had money for the first day didn't necessarily have money for the second day. So by the seventh day or by the 21st day, the person was lying, he couldn't even get out of his bed if he was still alive. So now what happened to all the Mitzrayim while nobody's able to work? Was there anything happening in the economy? Did anything happen? Mm-hmm. No. Did the crops last?
No.
Most of the crops died. The animals died. Right? So here's the most mighty nation in the world. It fell apart. Totally fell apart. In seven days. That's not red food coloring in the water. That's total destruction. I mentioned to the girls If you ever travel to Cleveland and you want to take a detour, okay, so you go about a half an hour north off of the 70, you go up a route called I-99, you go to a city called Johnstown, Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Who's heard of Johnstown, Pennsylvania besides the people who heard my drasha? Mrs. Reingold. Okay. So what happened in Johnstown, Pennsylvania? So the greatest natural catastrophe which happened in the United States of America happened in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. What happened? We'll call it natural. What happened in Johnstown, Pennsylvania? Johnstown, Pennsylvania is in a valley. the Kanima River goes through the valley. 11 miles north of the town, they built a dam. And behind the dam is a very large lake. It's a river. When you dam up a river, a very large lake produces behind it. Very heavy rains, a few days. Memorial Day weekend, 1889. I remember it well. Okay. And it was raining, and the water was getting higher and higher. Now, around this beautiful lake, the steel magnates from Pittsburgh had built palatial homes, summer homes, and they loved fishing on this lake. But the problem was that there were spillways on the side in case the dam gets, the water gets too high, there's a way for the water to go around the side, but that means the fish would escape. So they blocked up the spillways. So now the spillways are blocked up. The dam is, there's more and more water pushing against the dam, and eventually the dam burst. So all of the force of this gigantic lake comes down the valley. You know, when it gets to the city of Johnstown, it was very narrow. So the way they estimated it was the force of Niagara Falls came through the city. Who's been to Niagara Falls? Right. Picture that coming through an area about the width of, from about two blocks that way to about two blocks that way, just rolling through this section. So over 2,000 people were killed in a very short span of time. And the photos that they had photography of that by the way, in those days already. They have photos of the city beforehand, the city afterwards, the city beforehand. It's a nice city with houses, buildings, etc. Afterwards, all you see is mud. You see a mud flat. Miles of just mud. So there's a memorial there that you can go, and there's a movie about it over there. You can go there and watch it. My wife and I did it once, and my wife told me that she afterwards for quite some time, every time the memorial has, the movie has the sound of rain drops throughout the whole movie. Just the sound of raindrops. 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 What are raindrops? Raindrops. Every time it started raining, after for a little while, my wife would say, we'd freak out, like, you know. That was Makas Dam. That's the picture that you show your child in Makas Dam. But who did he do it for? Again, he didn't need to do this to take Klaus out of Mitzrayim. Very easy. Just pick him up and leave. Who did he do it for? To punish the Mitzrayim. He did it to give Klai Yisrael a message that when you start up with my children, I'm going to punish you. Right, so there's a bully in the neighborhood, right, walking around beating up kids. And one day this fellow walks over to the bully and taps on the shoulder and says, yeah, looks around at his big father. He says, oh man. Right, and the children say, yeah, great. Geschmack. Right, he's getting what he deserves. But it's not just a question of justice. It's a question of they know that somebody cares enough to take care of it. The purpose of Makas Dam was to teach Klal Yisrael a lesson that you can't set up with Klal Yisrael and not check with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We belong to Kodesh Baruch Hu. He cares about us enough that he's going to punish. Does Hashem enjoy punishing people?
No.
Anybody say yes? Good. Okay. The Mor says that when the Mitzrayim were drowning and the Malachim wanted to say Shira, Hashem said, I'm upset. I don't want you to say Shira. I'm not happy. I don't enjoy punishing people. Did Hashem enjoy punishing the Mitzrayim?
No.
Why did he do it?
To teach us a lesson.
That he's willing to punish them, even though it's painful for him, because we need to know how much he cares about us. That's Makas Dam. So let's, if a person will stop and think about Makas Dam for a second, just not say the words, but think about it. Picture it. Picture for a moment living in there when it's happening. How would a Jew feel at that moment? The Jews were horribly treated by the Mitzrayim. Whips, killing, everything, whatever it was. And all of a sudden, somebody steps in, a being steps in and says, you can't just do that to Klal Yisrael. How would you feel as a Jew?
So happy.
Happy, elated. What other words? Give me.
Cared about.
Those are the messages that the night of the Seder is supposed to accomplish for us. That's the message we have to walk away with. Because if we can walk away with that message, we understand that Kodesh Baruch Hu did it. And who did he do it for? For us. Who's us? For me, singular. I took you, singular, out of Mitzrayim. I did it for you, and for you, and for you, and for you. Not for us, but for you, individually. That, I think, is the challenge of the night. If we can tap into that idea that it's about us, it's not about, it's about me. So, obviously, Hashem has a goal for me. I have a challenge with the night of the Seder. So the night of the Seder is about, let's change it to a different phrase. It's about freedom, independence, right? What name would you give a night which is about freedom or independence? Translate the word Seder, please.
Order.
Okay, great. Let's celebrate freedom and independence with the word?
Order.
Like, no. Why the word order? Like, why is that the word that we're going to use to celebrate freedom? Like, why is there order? If you're saying there's an order, that means there has to be a goal. Like, you know, there's no goal, but you have to do it this way. That's mindless, right? If I tell you that it has to be done a certain way, it means because you're reaching towards some goal. By definition, if there's an order, it means that there's a purpose. So the goal of the Yitzhiyah was not just whatever, but the part of the Yitzhiyah was a message of you have a purpose. Do we enjoy having a purpose?
Yes. Yeah.
Who says no? Okay. You're in bed and you're really tired. Right? You're really tired. Do you want to get out of bed?
No.
But you have a purpose. You have to get out of bed. So we don't enjoy having a purpose. Okay, let's ask the question again. Reboys, ladies, come here to tie, right? Okay, do you enjoy having a purpose?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, let's do it half an hour. Those who say yes, please raise their hands.
For the most part,
okay. Yeah, no wishy-washy answers over here. Those who say no, raise their hands. Okay, all right? Those who are not sure. Okay. Those who think the answer should be yes, but they really feel no, raise your hands. Okay, some honest girls over here. Purpose means responsibility. All right. So I want to tell you a story, which I've said over before, that Moshe Eisman from the Yisrael said over. He was involved in the when they were just bringing the Russians right after the Glasnost, they started allowing emigration out of Russia, and he was involved in bringing young men here to America to yeshivas. So he met with a young man. He says, "Tell me, I don't know anything about you. His people were on the ground were dealing with it. I'm just arranging for yeshiva for you. What should I? I'm interviewing you for a few moments. Tell me something about you so I can understand when I go to the yeshiva why they should accept you and what type of person you are, etc." So he said, he asked him, "Why did you become frum?" So he says, "Because it was very cold out there and it's very warm in here." So he said, "I wasn't sure what that meant. What does it mean? It's very cold out there. It's very warm in here." So he said, "What do you mean?" So he says, "Because before I became frum, I could do whatever I want. I could eat wherever I want, go wherever I want, and now I can't. That's why it's very warm in here." Okay. Let me say the sentence again. "Because before I became frum, I could do whatever I want, eat whatever I want, go whatever I want, and now I can't. And that's why it's very warm in here." Okay. Before I explain it, how many girls tell me that they think they understand what I just said? One person. Okay. Do you want me to call and you actually explain it, or I should do it for you?
Yes.
Okay. Somebody back there, what? Somebody has an explanation? Okay, how many of you have ever been to Manhattan? Mostly, okay. Have you ever been to the Lower East Side?
No.
No, okay. You ever been to an area called the Bowery? Okay. Okay, have you ever been had the experience of seeing a person drunk? Lying on the sidewalk. Yes. Okay, some of you have. Right? So as you walk by this drunk, he picks it up and looks at you in the eye and says, "Dirty Jew." Well, how'd you react? Like, you know, he's telling me, you know, "Dirty Jew." Like, you know. Okay. What about if one of the lords in the parliament is caught on tape as saying dirty Jew? How would you react? Right? Okay. What about let's forget about the dirty Jew part. This guy's drunk. Right? Does it bother us that he's drunk?
No.
No. What about an airplane of a pilot of an airplane?
Yes.
He's drunk. Right? What's the difference? He has responsibility. So if I tell you, let's say, I want to say it in better words, what he does makes a difference. The guy who lies on the street, whatever he does, doesn't make a difference anyway, so who cares? But if the pilot of a plane is drunk, it makes a big difference. If you can't do whatever you want, that means that what you do makes a difference. If you can do whatever you want, you know what that means? You're worthless. You're worthless. Whatever you do is unimportant. Totally unimportant. Because whatever you do doesn't make a difference. If you tell me you cannot do whatever you want, that means that you're important. And you have value, and what you do is important. And that is Seder. That's why the night is called Seder. One last thought. Time, what's my...
2 minutes.
2 minutes. One last thought. I had a story that I had... The Bokram had to work very hard over a Shabbos a while back, and I said to them afterwards, there's three reasons why Bokram, somebody would help over, work hard over a Shabbos. Girls have to work hard over a Shabbos at helping at the house. There's three reasons why you do that. Okay? Reason number one, it's a chesed. Right? You want to help? Chesed. You want to help your mother, help the people who need it, etc. It's a chesed. Reason number one. Reason number two, it's your responsibility. You feel responsibility to do that. Reason number three, it's your house. I just heard recently somebody speak. He said that he got up by this, Rav got up in a shul, a drasha, and he says, let me finish my thought. When I say the full thought, please don't jump on me. He made an announcement that men are not allowed to help their wives clean for Pesach. Wait, let me finish. He said men are not allowed to help their wives clean for Pesach. Because they don't help their wives. It's their home. They have responsibility to clean the Pesach themselves. The wives help the men clean for Pesach. It's not the woman's responsibility. It's the man's responsibility. It's his home. So a man is not allowed to clean, help in that. I'm helping my wife. What are you helping your wife? I'm a Baal Chesed. You're a Baal Chesed. This is your place. You care about it. The reason why we care and we do these things is not because we're doing a chesed to somebody else, not because it's our responsibility, it's because it's ours. And it's ours and we care about it. We want to do it because it's the most important thing to me. I want to take care of my room. Okay, I've been out the house. My room. Most people, you clean up your room because it's a chesed. Yeah? How many of you clean up the room because it's a chesed?
To my mother.
Okay. All right. How many of you clean up because their responsibility? Okay, how many girls clean their room because they like cleaning their room?
No.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much, girls.